If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. That's in the New Testament for you people that don't read the Bible. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. Just let the preacher read it, and they shouldn't do that. And I am amazed how the Tallis can sing that strong in a morning service. You don't realize how hard that is to get that vocal cords up, and they do such a marvelous job. And, of course, all the other singers, praise God. I got it this morning and said, what have I done, Lord, to deserve this? I am not a morning person. I'm a night person. You don't pray in the morning? Yeah, 1 o'clock in the morning is when I pray, praise God. I don't, you know, the Lord came at 6:30, he'd have to wake me up. I'd say, wait. Oh, God. Do you know what time it is down here? Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm learning. I want you to listen to this statement. The faith begins where the will of God is known. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. I'm going to do a little teaching and preaching so I can warm up a little bit for the second service. Glory to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. But there's another will in the world. It's called the will of man. I want to deal today with the will of God versus the will of man. You people that are watching by television, open up that big Bible on your coffee table. You know the one with the pictures in it? And I want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's reasonable to present your body in a reasonable way to the Lord Jesus Christ. God said it was reasonable. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion, that you, not God, may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or matured will of God. I want to read that verse again. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind or your soul, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's very possible to have spirit prosperity and soul poverty. And that's where people get in trouble. Your spirit can send a bill to your soul that your soul cannot pay. Your spirit is 100% contact with God. That's why it's willing to do anything at any given time that God says. Well, your problem is in the soul of man, the mind, the will, and the emotion of man. In other words, your spirit will say, give $100. And you go, go. Your spirit go, yeah. Your soul say, control yourself, fool. Are you crazy? See, that spirit prosperity versus soul poverty. I may have said this here before. You can go to a mall, and if you see someone in a wheelchair, your spirit will say, go over there, grab them, jerk them out of them, pull them up in the name of Jesus, be healed. Your spirit says, yeah. Your soul said, lawsuit. That person fall on the floor, you're going to get sued. You see, that's where the problem, in my opinion, where the church lies, where they have trouble, is they always trying to renew their spirit when their spirit is already renewed and matured. It's where your soul is your problem, in soul poverty. And that's how you can know the difference between the will of God and the will of man. Now, you have to establish what is the will of God. Well, the will of God, you can only establish it through the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation is the will of God for man. Between those four chapters, there's 1,186 chapters of killing, stealing, and destroying by an arch enemy called Satan. But Jesus is coming back. And he's going back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, and man will walk in the cool of the day as he did before. Don't I sound like John Hagee? Glory to God. I had to get some statistics in here, praise God. When you preach around John Hagee, you got to read something, praise God. You understand what I'm saying? You just don't preach off the top of your head, because you'll sound like a fool, praise God. So between that, if you want to find out God's will for you, what was his will for Adam? What is his will for you when you're in heaven? Now, a lot of people don't understand prosperity because their soul's in poverty. See, they think it's greed. You may think it's materialism. How about manifestation? What is the difference between materialism and manifestation? I got a sermon I'm going to preach that pretty soon. The difference between materialism and manifestation. If you got soul poverty, you think that manifestation is materialism. And you think, my, the people just being greedy. They just make too much money. Well, how do you know how much I'm worth? How do I know how much you're worth? If you want to determine your worth is what you're willing to do for others, then you'll determine what your worth is. If you want to just pump gas for a living, that's a great job if that's what you like to do. And they'll probably pay you minimum wage. But if you want to become a heart surgeon, they're going to pay you $60,000 to $100,000 for a heart transplant. Or, you know, if you're a surgeon, you say, well, that's just too much money. Not if it's your life. He determines what he's worth by what he can do for you. Do you see that? So you got to know the difference between materialism and manifestation. See, a lot of people think if they're in soul poverty, they think that manifestation is materialism when it may be harvest that's coming back from the seed someone sowed. You see my point? There's a difference there. Now, let me preach this first before you preach it, Brother Hay, because you'll put me in the dirt. See? You understand what I'm saying? I tell you, I don't preach many people's sermons, but when I read Brother Hagee's books, I just take his name off and put my name on that book. Glory to God. That's just good stuff. I've never done that, but I have thought of it many times. I want to let you know. You hadn't heard my newest book, Seven Secrets? I read that first chapter the other day on the plane coming home. My God, me and Kathy were shouting in the back plane. I said, you think I can steal that? She said, no, I already stole it myself. Preached it last Sunday at the church. That's good stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you understand that, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the acceptable and what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let me say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, where do you understand the will of God for you? If you know where the will of God is known, not believed, but known, then your faith is going to work all the time instead of some of the time. Did you get that? Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is good. It has its origin in the love of God. If you want to understand the will of God, you have to look at the love of God. When he created Adam and he tried to make him work, he said, just have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, women were not in that lineup. Let me just make an announcement this morning. It's not a man's world anymore. You understand what I'm saying? James Brown got to change the song. You don't know the song? It's a man's world. Don't act like y'all don't know what song I'm talking about. Look, my brother here. What's up, brother? Go. Glory to God. Hey. You understand? It's a mama's world. Everything has to do with mama. 34 years ago, my daddy came up to me. He's 80, going to be 82 years old very soon. And he walked up to me and said, you know, Kathy's beautiful. I said, I think so. He said, but I want to tell you something, Jesse. I said, what, daddy? He said, she's going to become your mama. I said, what'd you say? He said, Jesse, I'm telling you, she's going to become your mama. I said, daddy, get out of here, man. You know, I think old crazy fool. I wouldn't say that to him because that'd be disrespectful. But I think he ain't know what he's talking about. He's losing it. He said, I'm telling you, she's going to become your mama. Well, lady, he prophesied that. It's come to pass. Kathy has become my mama. The other day I came off the road. She said, you look tired. I said, I am. She said, go to bed now. I went, okay. I just walked over to bed. I couldn't believe I did it. She looked at me, she said, get in that bed, turn the light out, and go to sleep. I went, okay. And I was thinking, what's the matter with you, man? You the Lion King, you Mufasa, boy. Come on, roar at her. Tell that woman what to do. I was going to roar, but all I had was meow. That's all I had. It's a mama's world. Is it the truth? It's a mama. How many of y'all saw The Passion of the Christ? Did you see Joseph? You know why? It's the mama's world. Even on a cross, Jesus could have said, tell Joe thank you. He gave me a trade to help me, but he ain't said a word about Joseph. Nothing. Take care of my mama. That's the will of God. It's a mama's world. So the will of God is known when you understand the origin of the will of God, which is the love of God. You find out what did he do for Adam. He gave him dominion over the fish of the sea, over everything. He said, all I want you to do is walk with me in the cool of the day and take care of this business. Pretty simple, wasn't it? I mean, pretty easy. And gave him the ability, the intellect, everything to do it. But yet he did not understand the will of God. You see, God does not compel discipleship. He governs by his love, and love never fails. See, let me say it again. God does not compel discipleship. A lot of people think he does. He doesn't. He governs by his love, and love never fails. Love never faileth. You see, now you may think it does, but it doesn't. Because he doesn't compel discipleship. See, he just simply does it through his love. I asked the Lord, why do you love me? He said, I know you better than you know yourself. See, I've been trying to figure myself out for years. I come up with all kinds of stuff sometimes. I'm the best subject you ever saw in your life. I do some things that I never thought I would ever do. I preached a sermon on developing my spiritual DNA because my physical DNA was too strong. Yeah, people would come up to me and say, in my family, you know, you sound just like your grandpa. The way you smile and the side of your mouth is just like your Uncle Edward. You got the same temper as your grandpa. And he used to say, alligators got to eat. He was a tough man. And I've had to develop my spiritual DNA over my physical DNA because I should have that power to do so. Why do I get mad? The other day, Kathy was mad at me in the car. I don't know why. I come home, I was doing good, Don. She was there on the other side of that car. Just blowed up about something. I just looked at her and said, that's her mama's spiritual DNA. So I said, I will not fight with you today, woman. I'm going to take you out to dinner and bless you. And you need to repent. By that time, all fur was all caught. And I said, I know you love me. We're going to have a good day today. I don't know what the problem is. Don't need to know. Praise God. We're just going to have a nice day. And she went, okay. I took her out to dinner, blessed her, Lord, bought her something. She was just purring. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you no more of the story. Oh, this is a quick crowd this morning. Glory to God. The will of God is good. It has its origin in the love of God. Why? God does not compel discipleship. He governs by his love, and love never fails. You see, if thou wilt is the key to many blessings. All I want to do is be a blessing. That's all I ever wanted to do is be a blessing. I wanted to live a good Christian life. I didn't want to be saved enough to be miserable. Have you seen some miserably saved people? I had a guy complaining to me that day. I said, you know what you need to do? He said, what? I said, you need to go to hell. I said, because my Lord, heaven ain't good enough for you, neither is earth. So try hell, boy. I said, you've been criticizing hell. Criticizing the earth, criticizing heaven. Well, maybe you need to go to hell. He said, I was that bad. I said, you've been that bad. You see, don't ever try to, you don't want to counsel with me. I got a 3-point plan. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now get out of here. Go on the house. You understand? I'm just going about your business. Lord Jesus. I'm not a pastor, so, you know. Just admit it, quit it, and forget it. Go on. You see, I said, Lord, if it's that bad, what else is there left? You don't know the will of God for you. Well, I'm trying to get healed. I said, that's your problem. You got to quit trying. You don't get healed by trying. You get healed by receiving. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not the sick trying to get healed. Do you understand that? By his stripes, you were, you are, you am, you is healed. Before you ever got sick, you had an answer called healing. If Jesus took your infirmity, why didn't you want it? If he bore your sickness, why should you have it? Yeah, but. Now, that's your problem. You got to get your butt out the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the minute you say, but, you cancel everything you just said. And the devil said, you see that? I told you. They did not believe it. He can only go by what he sees. He's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. You can fool him easy. He's the author of confusion. Now, you don't deal with him in the flesh. He'll whip you. My Lord, he'll tell you, you deal with him in the spirit. You do what angels did. The Lord rebuked thee. If angels did it that way, why can't you do it that way? You see, the human will, all my life, my mama used to say, the Lord gonna beat you, bust you, stomp you. I said, that's why I ain't getting saved, mama. I've been beat up and busted and stomped enough. You see, to me, Christianity was Chris, not Christ. It was a religion instead of a person. I was trying to shove and break my will. Listen to this point. The human will is harmonized, not crushed, transformed, not trampled on. All God wanted me to do is get my will in with his will. And you know, he never pushed me to that point. He just simply asked me. Now, Satan never asked me for nothing. He just stick your head in the ground and kill you.
But God said, listen, I got more power than him, but I'm going to give you a free will. You have a right to reject me or receive me. It's up to you. What do you want to do? When I realized that I made that decision instead of circumstances or the devil or anybody else, he said, Jesse, I don't want you to go to hell, but I'm telling you, you're going to go if you don't accept me as Lord and Savior. See, I was always looking at my sin instead of looking at my rejection. See, I wasn't going to hell for sinning. Even though sin would bring you to send you to hell, I was going for rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Because if Jesus is Lord over your life, you ought to have a hard time sinning. I'm going to tell you something. I don't sin every day. I heard that all my life. You got to sin every day. I don't. I go long periods of time without sinning. Don't look at me weird. I'm serious about that. Because Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, I have many opportunities to sin. I just said, no, thank you. That doesn't mean I haven't sinned. I have sinned. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I lied to the Lord so much about my temper. I said, I lost it again. He said, no, Jesse, you always find it. I wish you would lose it. If you would lose it, it would bless heaven. Boy, I'll tell you what, we could take a day off. It's the will of God. I said, God, how do I get my will in line with your will? He said, well, I'm not going to crush it and I'm not going to trample on it. He said, I'm going to harmonize it and I'm going to transform it. Be not conformed to this will, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I've learned something. When a bad thought comes in my mind, I say, that's not my thought. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, pure, and virtuous. He said, think on these things. That's not my thought. And if I don't speak that thought, it never becomes mine. Because if you let that thought die, it'll abort itself in the processes of your mind. The minute you speak it is the minute it becomes yours. You think about that for a minute. So there's a lot of things I think about I don't say. You see what I'm saying? I made up my mind. Because if I speak it, then it becomes mine. But if I say God said, see, I've learned something about the word of God. Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break. I believe that. Nor alter the thing that's going out of my lips. Now, sometimes it looks like it's been altered, but I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe in. See, I made up my mind. My sin is not going to get me to heaven. It's my believing that does. Now, I've learned to develop myself, and I'm constantly developing myself. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I was. I'm constantly growing and moving to that. I'm constantly ingesting and digesting the word of God. See, and my will has now become harmonized and become transformed to his will. That's why I don't have a problem giving money. I don't have a problem receiving money neither. I used to have a problem with that. What people think. Who cares what people think? I know that sounds hard and arrogant. Excuse me. That's my manifestation. How many cars you bought for people? How many houses? How many missionaries? How much? Lord, I put big money into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody going to criticize me? Ooh, you living in a dream world. I don't mean that in a rude sense. I just made up my mind. When I stand before God, you're not going to be there. It's going to be me, God, and a videotape. He's going to run it back and forth. See, this is what you did. This way you did it right. This way you did it wrong. And he's going to judge me. He ain't going. You're not going to be saying, praise God, that's Brother Jesse, Lord. He's a good man. No, you're going to be saying, what are you going to say to me? So I made up my mind, who am I living for? Am I living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I living for what public or world opinion? I made up my mind, I'm going to live for Jesus. And I expect the world to attack me because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. So I don't get shocked when they say ugly things about me. I get shocked when Christians do it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Thank you for that Holy Ghost grunt. Listen to me. That's some of y'all grunting right there. You see, I'm walking in the will of God. Sometimes the will of God, I don't understand it in my intellect, but that's all right. I'm still walking. I'm still going toward that thing. I don't know why God saves some people. I wouldn't. There's some people I wouldn't save. Some people are not thorns in the flesh. They're complete bushes. You know it's the truth. There's some people in your family you wish that God wasn't in your family. And you don't even know if they really are your family. But that doesn't mean that they're still part of your family. What are you saying? I'm saying the will of God is acceptable. To know God's will, we must first renounce our own. I had to renounce myself before I could understand his. Not my will, but thine be done. That's not an easy thing to renounce your own will. Like I said, I've had many opportunities to fail. I didn't take any. There's some people like, you know, I don't like rudeness. Anybody like rudeness in here? Look, when you bring your car to be serviced, you don't like it to be rude. You don't want people to be rude to you. You don't want to have to bring it back five times for the same thing you brought it for the first time. And sometimes people get a little rude. I don't like that. So I say, excuse me. I learned it from my daughter. I say, excuse me. You don't know me. I don't know you. Let's start all over. Hello. How you doing? See what I'm saying? Just start over and you can shut that down. You see, but I had to renounce my own will to understand his will. Let me say it again. The will of God is acceptable, but to know God's will, we must first renounce our own. What a key is to a lock, what a light is to the eye, what air is to a bird's wing, the will of God is the life of man. You see what I'm saying? In other words, his will be done. Now, I found out that a lot of his will, it really coincides with my will. God wants me blessed. Not the church world don't want me blessed. The heathen world don't want me blessed, but the Lord want me blessed because it make him look good. I lost some of you right there, I could tell. That's scriptural. That's in the Bible. He says he get pleasure. Pleasure. Everybody say pleasure. In the prosperity of his servant. God gets blessed when you get blessed. When your children look good, don't you get blessed? When people say, boy, if on Easter Sunday your little granddaughter runs down the aisle while Pastor Hagee's preaching and you just grab her real quick and people go, ooh, look at the pretty dress. You go, yes, I bought it. It makes you feel good when people say nice compliments about your children if they look good. Why? You learn that from God. You get pleasure when your child is blessed. God gets pleasure when you're blessed. Why do people have a problem with that? I'll tell you why. Soul poverty. Spirit prosperity. You talk about a fight. You talk about messed up bad. That's the problem most of the church where their spirit is in prosperity, their soul is in poverty. And boy, the war is going on. But the Bible said, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul so you can get it in line with your spirit to understand the will of God. Until a man knows the will of God and proves it in the laboratory of his own experience, he has not begun to live in his true sense. Everything that I prayed for, everything I believed for has also become experienced. I remember this. You see, I believed this when I didn't have nothing. I believed this when I'd go preach in a sermon. I brought Kathy to church one time, and I said, where are we going to sleep? And I'll never forget that. Remember that? They pointed to a Sunday school room and said, on the floor. Kathy said, we're going to sleep on the floor. I said, that's where we're going to sleep, on the floor. She said, we got big roaches. I said, well, stay up all night and fight them boys. You know, you got to do what you got to do, but we're going to sleep on the floor. Now, we don't do that today, thank God, because you see, I believe in those days I believed in giving, but I didn't believe in receiving because I thought if I received something, people might not think I'm, well, Jesus didn't have much. You hadn't read the Bible. What you going to do when you get to heaven? What you going to do when you get to heaven? And there's a gold street and a mansion waiting on you. You're going to go, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. No. No, Jesus. You hadn't been reading the Bible. We're supposed to be poor. He said, you're in the wrong place. Hell's where it's poor. You see my point? What you going to do when you get to heaven? All of a sudden, man, you got diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. People say, you shouldn't have it here. Yeah, I like a little bling bling. I like a little bling bling. I like a little bling bling. I enjoy a little bling. Hey, what's wrong with that? Why is that bad? Maybe that's manifestation instead of materialism. Ooh, this is good stuff. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. I know, I'm not believing, ladies and gentlemen, I know the will of God for me. Do you understand? Now, you may not know the will of God for me, but I know the will of God for me. And I'm totally convinced, not arrogant, not egotistical, but confident and assured that what he said I can have, I can have. I read one of your books one time. You said you're not blessed by chance, you're blessed by choice. That blessed me. He said, I put life in blessing, death in curse. Choose life. Come on. Just choose life. No, no, no. I'm going to have what God said I could have. And if it makes the world mad, they're going to have to just get glad. I'm going to be as nice as I possibly can, but I understand until a man knows the will of God and proves it in the laboratory of his own experience, he has not begun to live in his true sense. So every day I'm finding out more about the will of God, but through study of the word, not through reading of the word, through study of the word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which means if you don't study, is it possible you can wrongly divide the word of truth? I mean, how many times I've been overseas and they say, what doctrine do you believe, Dr. Duplantis? I said, well, which one you have a problem with? I can work in all, I'm all temperature, hot, warm, and cold. I can preach in either one of them. It doesn't make any difference to me. Why? Because I love myself. I'll buy my own tape and no one else will. You understand what I'm saying? Does that shock you? It shouldn't. See, that's the will of God. God gave me that sermon. If he gave me that sermon, bless God, I'm going to preach it. I never forget years ago when I first started out, 1977, I think it was 78, I went to this place to preach, and I was going to preach Sunday night, but they had a guest speaker for Sunday morning. So I thought, well, I'm going to be nice, you know, I want to listen to this man. And he was a black gentleman, a precious brother. He got up there. Now, it was a morning service. He got up there and the spit start flying. I mean, just preaching. Wow, wow, and just go, and it kind of shocked people for 2 solid minutes. Just went to preaching and stopped. Cold stopped. And, you know, it shocked somebody because he went to screaming. He says, I know the Lord said. I said, I know the Lord said. Mm-hmm, Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord said to preach this sermon. But evidently, I said, evidently, it ain't for you. Took his Bible and walked out the church. Just walked out. Left us all there. We're going. I ain't seen him since. True story. Pastor got up and said, well, that's the quickest Sunday morning service we've had. Come back tonight. He walked and got out of there because he wasn't getting enough reaction from the crowd. Well, he just went to screaming and hollering and preaching up a storm, which is nothing wrong, but in the morning it is. People went. Sometimes. You know. Now listen to this point. What nature does of necessity, we are invited to do by choice. See, nature by necessity has to do it. We have dominion over this world. Dominion. Now, is that over your body? Sure. I mean, that doesn't mean the devil doesn't attack me or try to make me sick in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I get the same. Becoming a Christian doesn't stop circumstances from coming your way, but it does gives you the ability to alter that circumstance. You see what I'm saying? When you alter that thing, say, well, no, we're not going to do that. One of the things the devil can't understand when you say, no, I'm not going to do that. He'll ask you why. Well, why not? It worked for centuries before. Why didn't it work for you? Because I'm not letting you control my destiny or my destination. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. People need to hear the voice of God more outside the church than they need to hear it inside. Well, that's where the problem is, outside that church. I mean, I got nailed the other day, but, you know, people talking about, how do you define marriage? I said, the same way a dog does. Same way a cow does. Between a man and a woman, or between a male and a female. God didn't create Adam and Steve, did he? He created Adam and Eve. Why? Why did he do that? Because Adam and Eve can create. Adam and Steve cannot. You were made in God's image. Do you see that? That's pretty simple. That's not hard. That's pretty simple. That's the will of God. You want to know the will of God? The will of God is Adam and Eve. But I was born that way. No, you wasn't born that way. Now, you may not know how you got that way, but you wasn't born that way because you were made in God's image. And God ain't around the throne going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Let me just think about it. No, God ain't doing that. He ain't doing that kind of. Don't write me no ugly letter because I ain't going to read it. Now, don't get mad at me. You're laughing. Robin Williams do it. Why you want to kill me? See my point? He created you to create. Y'all believing for grandchildren. From the kids. Not from them, from the kids. I'm doing the same thing myself. My daughter been married quite a while. It hadn't happened, but we're believing. But I told him we need some action here. Come on. We need some action here. Faith without works is dead. Come on, Ed. Suck it up, boy. Come on, boy. Come on, son. Man got to do what a man got to do. What nature does of necessity, we are invited to do by choice. So when God said that I prove what his good, accepted, perfect will of God is, well, I got to understand that the will of God is good. It has its origin in the love of God. The will of God is accepted because to know the will of God, I must first have to renounce my own. I find that how it works in a marriage too. After a while, I wanted to make all the decisions when I first married that woman. I could care less about that anymore. I just make up my mind, Kathy, what we gonna do? You know, it's a lot easier. I'm the head of my house. I'm the head of my house. I didn't say I was the boss. I said I was the head of my house. I find it just a lot easier. You know, just, hey, whatever you want to do. Just firm with me. I just go with the flow. My daddy was right. He was right on that. Glory to God. Everything in my house, I bought it, but I don't even own it. I can't move nothing without Kathy's permission. Why'd you move that over there? I don't know. Tried to get it out of my way. Well, that's what I like. Well, excuse me. It just, don't act men like, don't, men, come on, help me out. Y'all bunch of wimp men. Y'all going. Y'all ain't saying nothing because your wife's sitting by. You're going, yeah. Well, if the will of God is good and the will of God is acceptable, then the will of God is perfect. What does that mean? There is no flaw in divine purpose. It is a circle complete in itself. That's the will of God. There's no flaw in it. It's a circle complete in itself. It is the will of God for which we are made. Outside of it, we can never find our true orbit. I had to find out what my destiny and destination was in this life. Body, and I began to research the scripture and found me in every verse. Every verse, I'm in that verse. This thing was created for me. The last creation was man, but he made the last first. He said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Everything was created for man, but he was the last to be created and he became the first. He said, now you go operate in that area of life. See, for years, let me give you a revelation that set me free years ago. Now you ready for this? How many times you've prayed and 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 prayed, trying to get God to tell you what to do and he don't say nothing? Hold your hand up if that's happened. Let's be honest. Boy, it's happened to me many times. Just keep praying. Lord Jesus. God, I need to know something. Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're getting close to the deadline. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on. I mean, you just do everything. Listen. I'm desperate. I need some help. Come on. I need to hear your voice. Lord. You will even do a little. Oh, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, you do anything. Lord, I'm a white man, but I'll become black. What's up, Jesus? What's up, Jesus? Hallelujah. Lord, I'll be like, you know, Feliz Navidad. You know, I'll do anything. Just tell me something. God, you got to tell me something. And nothing happens. I've been there many times. And I'll never forget the day that I got set free. Finally, I got angry. I had this in a wrong way. I got angry. I said, did you hear me? He said, yeah, I heard you. I heard you the first time. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, do I have to make ever a decision for you? Didn't I tell you to grow up to the fullness of the stature of who I am? I said, yes, Lord. He said, if I'm not telling you yes or no or what to do exactly, then whatever you decide, I will back it. I said, what did you say? He said, if I don't tell you what to do, this, line upon line, precept upon precept, he said, then whatever you decide, I'll back it, Jesse. I'm not going to make every decision for you in this life. I gave you dominion. Now, what you going to do? Now, there's a lot of times I prayed, I said, Lord, and he said, don't do that, do this. But there's been most of my decisions in my ministry, I do by the guiding of the Spirit of God, and God backs it. He said, I'm going to back it. He said, you do the same exact thing, Kathy. You back what Kathy said. I'll never forget one time I was receiving an offering for a church in Chicago, and Kathy looks at me, she's going like this with her checkbook, she's going, which means how much you want me to give. I looked at the woman, I said, woman, whatever the Lord tell you do it, I'll back it. She went, okay. And just wrote it down. Praise God. We got in the car, we were driving back. I said, Kathy, how much did you give? She said, 25. How much? I said, would you get, you get 2,500? She said, no, I gave 25,000. Jesus, what? What did you, she said, you told me you would back it. Oh yeah, I'll back it. But now when I receive an offer and I say, Kathy, let's talk. But I backed it. Well, God will back me. So if you're not getting an answer to prayer the way you want it, he's telling you, grow up, you're making that decision, you understand my will, and whatever you decide, I'll back it. I just set you free. Shout right there. Oh, glory to God. Now let me close it. The reason why we should be in the will of God, our will is a fragment, his will is a whole. He sees it all. Do you know every time God looks at us, Brother Hickey, he looks 240 years into the future. He looks at three generations. The average person in America lives to 80 years old. Some live longer, some live less, but the average is 80 years old. That's why God is never surprised. Every time he looks at you, he looks at, you know, it's three generations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So when I read that in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, and Jesse. Galatians chapter 3 said, I'm an heir with him. I'm Aaron, and I'm Abraham's seed. So every time I see that, and how many times in the Bible, even after Abraham died, God said, I remember my servant Abraham. I remember my servant David, and I will not allow this to come upon his household because of my servant David. If Jesus tarries and I die, go by the way of the grave, God will say this. And Jody, the devil tries to attack Jody, God will say, I remember my servant Jesse, and I will not allow this to come upon his daughter or his son-in-law. Ooh, that's a powerful statement. He's taking care of me all the way down the line. Our will is a fragment. His will is a whole. Let me say this in close. The will of God does not merely command, it empowers. To be empowered, we must surrender. If you want to be empowered, you must surrender. A man asked me the other day about mortgages. He said, but Jesse, you're debt-free, aren't you? I said, yes. I said, but I'm not against debt. I said, but do you know the original root word of mortgage? He said, no. I said, the word mortgage means mortuary. Mortgage. Mart. That's where you get mortuary. You know what the gauge means? Death grip. Mortuary. Death grip. You're paying 30 years on a mortgage. You're paying three times the amount of money that you borrowed. But they make it small enough for you not to notice it. So mortuary, or the word mort means death, and the word gauge means grip. And if you look at that, that's called death grip. So I made up my mind. God said, now I'll do whatever you're willing to believe for. I can do this up front and pay cash for everything, or I can meet the note every month. According to your will, let it be done. I said, well, mine's in a fragment, so why don't I just get it all and leave it in a hole? He said, that's fine with me. Now, first thing you sold, if your soul's in poverty, yeah, but. But see, my soul's in prosperity like my spirit. Okay, we're going to believe God. Many of y'all know, and pastor sometimes asked me about that plane that we believe in God for. You getting there? I'm getting close. Now, I can go buy that. I could have been flying that thing 3 years ago. I mean, I got three banks want to lend me money. Even my tax attorney wants. He says, are you crazy? Please buy the plane. Let's mortgage. We're going to knock out some taxes in the head. But you see, I heard something. I don't want any grip on me. I don't want no death grip on me. I might want to be a blessing. So I just made up my mind, since I got to believe for the note, why don't I believe for the whole price? It's all faith anyway, isn't it? Now, is that good? Is that acceptable? Is that perfect? Huh? Ah, so I realized something. Wait a minute. Let me be the lender instead of the borrower. So I like it when banks call me. And they say, Reverend Duplantis, Dr. Duplantis, would you please consider putting Jesse Duplantis Ministries financial accounts and Jesse and Kathy's personal financial accounts into our bank? I said, oh, take me to dinner. Am I telling the truth? They take me to dinner. What else can we do for you? I said, you know, I did business with this bank for 20 years. And when I didn't have anything, you never took me to dinner. You didn't even give me a teapot. Why am I so different now? I'm the same man. Then it hit me. They see something called glory. Now, most of people think when you read the word glory in the Bible, it's the blue smoke. Oh. And at times it does. That's God. But most of the time it's translated wealth. Even Satan said, look, you want a kingdom? I got a kingdom. I'll give it to you. And the glory of them. In other words, it's organized. It's got money. Run it like you want. They see something. See, that's the only thing they can see. The natural man receiving. They only can see physical things. So then it dawned on me. Well, Lord, let's give them something to see. So I accept my blessing in the city, blessing in the field, blessing going in and blessing going out. Let me say this in close. And the other day, I tell you what, we had a blessing. And when that begins to happen, we've been believing God for some property. Wanting to buy a piece of property. Well, there's a very powerful man in the state of Louisiana who owns the right-of-way to it. You can't get to it unless you get his piece. Now, he'd been watching me for years and watching Kathy. Make a long story short. Precious man. He calls Kathy. Talks to Kathy, he says, Ms. Duplantis, Kathy, I've decided I'm going to sell you that piece of property. Kathy, she said, Jesse, we got it. Glory to God. Kathy says, "Would you?" Right now, we're not in town. We're preaching a citywide crusade. Do you want to purchase agreement? He said, "No, your word's your bond. I've watched you before. Your word. Whatever, when you say something, you'll do it." That really blessed me, because then I thought of Psalms 89:34. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips." That man believes that about me and about Kathy. He says, "Your word is sufficient. It is yours." So me and Kathy shouted there in the hotel room. We flew back home, I think that night or the next night, something like that. I said, "Isn't that amazing? Even the heathens now accept our word as a contract." Yeah. Now, you know how they accepted it? Not by just me saying it, through experience. Because they can only go by experience, by believing it. Seeing how we acted in life. Seeing how we do God's business and how we do our personal business. Seeing our transparency. Seeing us being a blessing when we didn't have to. And when the economy was going bad, our ministry was growing by 30%. When everybody was losing money, I sold a house and made more money than anybody on the whole block. Because they went by what the real estate people said. I went by what God said. See, all of a sudden I raised the value of the properties all over that street because I decided to believe what God said. See, they don't forget that kind of stuff. And then I have this wonderful thing. Sound like the Old Testament. Your God. Remember that? They said, "Your God is good to you." That's the exact words they used, Dr. Hagin. I thought, man, that's like the Old Testament. Your God is good to you. Because they only can go by what they see. I said, "Lord, why?" Because I know you don't love me anymore than you love anybody else. He said, "You understand my will." Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, what is the will of God for you today? The will of God versus the will of man. Remember, to understand it, you have to renounce your own. The minute you renounce your own, he takes your will and places it in his will. And after a while, you forgot what you used to think. Now your spirit's in prosperity. Your soul is in prosperity instead of poverty. And your body is in prosperity. All of a sudden, you're not getting as sick as some people get. Things begin to change. Things begin to happen. It's working in a threefold work. Every time. And it does, all of a sudden the long periods begin to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And then you get to a point before you ask, he will answer. Then you start looking at your legacy. And God said, "I'll take care of them too." All of a sudden your children start getting blessed. "Lord, I haven't done anything different." "Oh yeah, you have. You went from good, acceptable, to no flaw, perfect will of God." Did you enjoy it this morning? Give Jesus a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what the will of God is for you to be saved. I want you to listen as Pastor Hagin comes. Every head bowed, please. Dr. Hagin.
As we stand in the presence of the Lord, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have not made him the Lord of your life, and you would like to know him today, I'd like for you to slip your hand up right where you are. Will you do that right now? "Pastor, I have never received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." God bless you. And God bless you. Here is the thing that God was saying to me as Jesse was preaching. Ask your people this question. How many of you spiritually know that God can provide, but there is a specific thing in your life for which you need for him to provide, and you need for your soulish self to rise to meet the level of your spiritual man so that God can meet that specific spiritual or financial need? Raise your hand. Let me see it in the building. 90% of you plus. I want everyone in the room, just keep your hand up. Everyone in the room, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of my life. Increase my faith that I may believe what my spirit can receive that will bless me and my children and my children's children to receive the fullness of God financially, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. In Jesus' name, I receive my inheritance today. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. God bless you.